Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I am Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, and I am, of course, joined by Tommy McNamara, the Prince of Snarkness. What are you pointing at there, buddy?
I'm currently shocked that Tom has a mouse connected to his laptop.
What is this so shocking for?
This is a new development.
I turned 31. I got a mouse pad. I got large bifocals.
Your birthday was 4 months ago.
No, the little touchpad thing is screwed up, and rather than get it fixed, I solved my problems with adding, you know, a UCB, or wait, UCB?
Mm-hmm.
I decided to buy a stock in UCB.
Yes.
It seemed
Now's
like
the
their company was doing well. Now I got a little USB port.
He didn't just spring for any mouse. He sprang for the Amazon Basics.
The
mouse.
Amazon Basic. Wow. Literally the first one that pops up.
You are an Amazon Basic.
You basic ass Bezos. You basic.
All right. Before we get any further into this,
let's introduce our guest. We have the hilarious Chris Duffy.
Chris
Duffy.
Oh, hi, everyone.
Thanks for coming, buddy. Thanks. We've been meaning to get you on forever.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I have to address this up top. My girlfriend brings it up all the time. She says that you're the reason we met.
I think I'm not the reason you two met, but I think I am the reason you are still dating.
Right.
That is true.
Because Antonia and I knew each other before you and I knew each other. We were hosting a different, worse podcast together.
No, it was a good show. I listened to that show before me and Antonia's first date.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But like only to prep for the date.
Of course.
It wasn't like you happened to be listening.
Like, yeah.
We listened to it before every date with any woman.
Well, I listened to a personal finance podcast that's sponsored content.
Well, you got to
get ready for all dates.
Before every date, listen to the person's podcast, and they will have one.
Oh, yeah. That is, welcome to 2019.
That way, if you don't fall in love with them, you may end up with a new podcast.
Yeah. At least you have a great discount code.
That's why Tommy's on Bumble, is to get people into this show.
This is my second podcast recording of the day.
But
podcast Saturdays.
She told me that she had... met someone who she liked, but she's like, I'm worried because he's...
Wait, who the fuck did she meet?
Oh my God, I thought it was you. And then she was like, I don't know, I'm worried though, because he's like a comedian. Like, is that, like, should I date a comedian? Is that a really horrible idea? And I was like, well, I'm also a comedian, and I would say that, like, we're not always the best people to date,
sure.
But it seems like you like this person, and I don't think it should be an immediate deal breaker. And then she's like, okay.
Yeah.
And
now I appreciate it.
Has bloomed.
It's been a great
time. The ultimate wingman move.
That's right. Even before I knew whose wing I was winging. Is that how it works? Nope, that's
that
not at all
true.
Right.
Well,
I'm imagining that I was the body of the bird and you were the wing, but that's not how the metaphor works, I think. I think it's actually an Air Force metaphor.
I introduced Robert Durst to his last ex-wife because I didn't know him, but she was looking for somebody.
That ended.
I'm unlucky in love.
Thank you, Tom.
My favorite spot in New York is there is a bench in Bryant Park that is dedicated by Robert Durst's dad, and I sit there every time I see it just because I think it's funny.
Incredible. So you had two pods today?
I did a pod talking about the Jordan Peele film Us.
Oh, wow.
Very excited to see it.
New.
Yes, very new. Saw it Thursday night.
So fresh.
Big fan, yeah. What else is going on?
It's an exclusively Us pod?
It's my friend.
They just started it. It's just in-depth conversations about the movie Us.
It's going to be weekly, probably for a few years, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's my friend Brett Arnold, former guest of this podcast, who also produces a weekly show with me, and he has a horror podcast.
Okay.
Good man.
And so we went on and talked about it.
A good man.
Yes.
No one can deny that.
I'll take it. I will deny it.
Someone should come on the show to defend Brett instead of a band. They just defend Brett.
Yes, that's what we need.
How's your day going there?
Pretty good.
Christopher?
I've been taking a lot of, doing a lot of chores. I did laundry. Went shopping.
Is this
groceries.
A chore to you? Coming
yeah,
to talk
this
to
is
us?
Absolutely a chore. Honestly, I'd rather still be doing laundry. But sometimes you got to come defend your band.
Of course. And your band today we should address is, of course, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yes.
That's right.
Who we haven't talked about on the sit-down pod. We did an episode. We did a live episode where Josh
sit-down
Gondelman.
Sit-down is the name of Microscenes podcast, by the way.
Josh, we're going to take that over.
Josh also did?
Josh defended them on a live episode.
Well, one of my best friends, and I'm honored to be doing the same thing.
Yes.
Do you think that maybe... Yeah, what is it about you guys that makes you love Hootie? I wonder.
Friendly young gentlemen love
That's
Hootie
true.
And the
nice,
Blowfish.
Nice young men love Hootie.
Nice
and the
young men love Hootie. That is actually a t-shirt they sell on their tour. Nice young men love Hootie.
It's funny. I was doing a little bit of research for the show today, mm-hmm. and I searched on Twitter, I hate Hootie and the Blowfish. One of the first things that popped up is a Josh Gondelman tweet.
Oh.
I want to see if it pops up if I do it again. If that's exactly what I
it was one of those one time
searches.
He might have deleted his account after being canceled today.
Oh, no.
This is from 2012, so long before he defended them on our show. He wrote, Hootie and the Blowfish has gone from thing I liked as a kid past, thing I reflexively hate, all the way to thing I am nostalgic for.
That's I think that's right.
Yeah,
that's
is that how you feel about it too? Were you into them right off the bat?
You know, it was one of those where, like, I heard it on the radio, and I was like, okay, I am feeling this.
Yep.
Like, here we go. Hit me with that country-infused rock.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And where are you from again?
I'm from New York.
You're from New York, so you're just a New York kid taking the old...
Just trying to feel what it would be like to be a country guy, you know?
Riding the six all the way down south.
That's right. Riding the six down south.
That was the midnight train to Georgia. Yeah. She was on the six.
Yeah. I was taking the bus across town so I could get on the six and go south. And then I you know, I was thinking about, like, why, because there's a lot of bands that I just like, but I was thinking, like, what's a good Stand By Your band?
Yeah.
And I think the reason why this was, like, embarrassing was because I was from New York. Everyone who I all, like, the people that I went to high school with and middle school, they were, like, very cool.
Yes.
And, like, knew stuff and, like, went to concerts downtown, and they were like, yeah, I'm into, like, art rock, or, like, I'm listening to Vampire Weekend before they even are Vampire Weekend.
And you know? They're over there because it's New York.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I know them. Yeah. And I feel like this was one where I've always not, even though I grew up in New York, my dad is from Michigan, and I've always kind of identified a little more Midwestern.
Yeah.
And people in New York always, like, make fun of, growing up, people, like, made fun of the way I said things because they were like, got a Midwestern accent.
Really?
And I so associate Hootie and the Blowfish with, like, driving from New York to visit my grandparents and my cousins in Michigan, like these, like, incredibly long drives, and I'd, like, be in the back seat listening to Hootie and the Blowfish on a CD player.
Oh,
being
hell
like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I don't have to be so cool. I could just, like, feel what I feel, and here I am listening to Hootie.
I would find that very stressful. Is like, I like that I got to wait until I got to, like, college and after to have to, you know,
oh,
have
yeah,
cool
to
music
be cool.
taste. And, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've told this story before, but I got ripped apart when I got to college for my iTunes.
Oh,
because
yeah?
I was just like, music is good. I would listen to everything. Like, when I got iTunes, I just downloaded every CD that I could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what it was. And I got into, like, all of it. And then, I just remember a particularly devastating night where my friend Josh Murphy was sitting on a couch looking at my iTunes with a girl that I think every one of us was, like, into. She was, like, the one girl at our party that we were like, maybe she's like me. And then he was just ripping apart my music, and she was cackling, and I was like, end the party.
Oh. Isn't that also so horrible, right? Like, oh, these sounds bring you joy.
Yeah,
you're a loser. And you're like, I'm sorry, it's not the same as the ones for you.
Yeah,
I just feel like, yeah, I don't understand. But I also, even now, when someone says, like, so what kind of music do you like? I instantly, like, burst into sweat, like, all over. I'm like, oh, God, I hate answering that question. And I'm like, there's a wrong answer, and I know I'm going to say
horrifying,
it.
Yeah. It's never easy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tommy, what do you how do you feel about this?
Well,
I feel
I
like you've got
say,
a very good taste in music, though.
I appreciate
you also
that.
Are musical, which I'm jealous
yes.
of also.
Yes.
You're
but
the musical
I also, man. I also hate that question, though, because I do have a lot of, I feel like everyone, I have, like, eclectic
it's
music
eclectic,
taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's but then that sounds lame to say that.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't say anything but country or anything, because now there's hack answers to that question.
Yeah.
And I do like country, so I
know,
country.
And people
yeah.
just rip it apart here, but it's like, I want to be like, I like good country, though.
Exactly.
I don't like pop country.
I also do like Darius Rucker's country.
Well,
yes.
Also, I wanted to say, to just show you how cool I am, I was prepping for this podcast by listening to a lot of Hootie and the Blowfish the past few days. And as I was listening to Darius Rucker's voice, I was like, you know who Darius Rucker kind of sounds like? Is Tommy McNamara. Don't you think so?
Hold on. We got to listen to a little bit of Darius first.
I feel like when Tommy goes into his, like, big, like, I'm really feeling it riffs,
yes.
that is Darius Rucker voice.
Damn. That is a high compliment. I will take
Let's hear a little bit of Only Want to Be With You just to kick this guy off. Now that I'm thinking about his voice, I know what you're talking about.
Looking for a girl like you. You look at me, you got nothing.
holds up.
Man, that is so right? pleasant. That's so pleasant.
So pleasant.
Who could be so angry about that?
Well,
people can.
I gotta say, I get why people don't like Hootie. Like, yeah. I love Hootie and the Blowfish, and listening to that, I'm like, wow, nostalgia and great feelings. But I get why they don't like Hootie and the Blowfish, because here's my theory. One, too accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not music where you have to be like, oh, I like listen to it six times, and actually, like, I get what they're doing now. Like, you listen to 10 seconds, you know what Hootie and the Blowfish are doing.
Yes,
that's fair. I feel like that's the same thing with a lot of the bands. So like, Coldplay is exactly that. Like, their first couple albums, it's just pleasant listening.
It's easy to listen to. And then I think another really big thing that I think is hard to defend is certainly one of the absolute all-time worst band names.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A horrible band name.
100%.
Even made significantly worse by the fact that in every interview, Darius Rucker refuses to say that he is Hootie.
Yes, which is...
Like, we don't know who Hootie is. We don't know who the Blowfish are.
Ugh.
We just know that all
There's
of us together are
one of the guys
them.
In the band is Fish, though. Like, his name is Fish.
What if Dave Matthews did the same thing? He's like, oh, we're Dave Matthews' band. Any of us could be Dave Matthews.
Who's band? I don't know.
Oh, wait, I'm wrong. So this is one of their touring musicians, Philip Fish Fisher.
Okay.
It seems like he could be a Blowfish. Yeah. I don't know. That seems to work out pretty well.
And I also think, like, while I love the music, a lot of the lyrics are pretty bad. Like, Only Want to Be With You.
The Dolphins.
Love the song. The Dolphins line is a really, like, an all-time big question when he's like, the Dolphins make me cry.
Well, it's funny because all of his lyrics are so vague for the most part.
Yeah.
And then he just randomly throws in the specific, and it is a very weird specific.
Yeah, who's ever just looked at a dolphin and started weeping?
Yeah, I think it raises some really big questions about, like, so are we talking animal dolphins?
Or is it the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah,
is he from Miami?
He's not.
Could be. No,
he's not. Okay, because that would be
South Carolina. South Carolina, that's
right. I think they started at the University of Charleston or something like that, at college in Charleston, which actually is another... kind of embarrassing, funny thing about them is, you know how they formed?
I don't.
Please
tell.
The other band members heard Darius Rucker singing
in
the shower.
That's right. Yes, in the shower.
And they were all hanging out in the bathroom.
Then they busted in and were like, guess what, buddy? We're in a band.
I gotta
be
honest.
Put on your pants.
I gotta be honest. I read that story a while back, and I've been singing in our shower for the past 2 years, hoping that Tommy would discover me. Tommy's never made any comments, but he did put a no singing sign in our bathroom.
I love the image of you walking out of the shower in a towel, being like, "I'm ready to be signed."
So I want to read a few of the song facts here. This song is a tribute to Bob Dylan.
And he sued them.
And that's the funniest thing in the world.
How is it a tribute to Bob Dylan?
So it contains lyrics from various Dylan songs, including a mention of Dylan's Tangled Up in Blue. Some of the words
that
come directly from Dylan's track Idiot Wind. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million, and when she died, it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. That's just a Dylan line straight up.
Also, that name sounds like it was like in Dylan's punk phase.
For sure.
Idiot Wind. That's like Bob Dylan wrote that for Green Day.
Apparently, Dylan felt the tribute infringed too closely on original work, and he sued the group for unauthorized use of his lyrics. According to VH1, he received a large out-of-court settlement in 1995. What a bummer.
Well, I'm sure he needed the money.
I mean, it's like, that is obviously just a fuck you from Bob Dylan.
Yeah. Of course,
like,
he doesn't need the money.
He clearly doesn't need the money.
That had to be pre-Christian phase.
Yeah.
He's just like, I just love that you dedicate something to a person and then they sue you and take your money.
Yeah,
that is brutal.
By the way,
like someone at the front of the book, it's like to Bob Dylan, and then next thing you know, you don't have a house anymore.
Oh man!
I bet he was mad because they were competing with the Wallflowers, and he was trying to help out his son.
That's right. Yes, Bob Dylan, notoriously an incredible father.
I also
really loving father.
I went on a Joke Was Always podcast and I posited that the Wallflowers album Bringing Down the Horse is better than any Bob Dylan album.
Yeah.
And I'd like to take that back. I would just like to officially take back that stance.
That's bold.
But I would like to posit a similar argument, which is that the song All Right by Darius Rucker solo is better than any Hootie and the Blowfish song.
Wow.
That was my new theory.
All right, let's listen to it. Yeah, you could have given me a fucking heads up. You were going to posit something like that. What's it called?
All Right.
All Right.
It's on his top five.
I mean, even he doesn't think that it's that good.
Jesus Christ.
Literally, he's like, this song's fine.
Wait, is it It's All Right to Cry?
No, it's literally just the word All Right. It was like number five on his top played when I looked today.
All Right. God damn it, Tommy.
It's from the album These Are B-plus Songs.
Oh, I see.
All right. I'm going to quickly disagree.
Oh,
nice use of reverb, though.
What a chance.
I'm going to posit that Take a Knee My Ass is better than this song. Reservations.
I got spaghetti and a cheap bottle of wine. Do you know Joy?
Did he just say, I've got spaghetti hands?
Spaghetti hands.
Oh, I've got spaghetti and the dolphins make me cry. I got spaghetti hands. Ain't got no caviar, no
Dom Perignon. But as far as I can see, I already take back my theory. It moves over my head, the woman I love laying in my bed, and it's okay, I was wrong. I came in hot and I was wrong.
You came in so hot.
Oh, I also just love any song where you try and like make yourself relate to working class people. And so he uses ain't, but then he's like, I ain't got no caviar.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
not the first thing.
Shoes under my feet. Yeah, yeah, no, that's not great. Later on, we'll walk
down to the river. Right, the river.
The river.
They'll
bring it in, stare up at the moon. It may not be no French Riviera. But it's all the same to me as long it's as about being in love.
Rucker said on his record company's website, this is how we really feel. I love the simplicity of the whole song. And of course, anytime you get to mention Patsy Cline in a song, I think that's awesome. Dude, they do this all the time.
He was sued by Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline took it for everything he's worth.
Patsy Cline took him for his caviar and Dom Perignon, which turned out he did have.
The label is like, please, please, Darius, do not mention any other singer.
So often they do this. They did this with R.E.M. in another song.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They just, I think they want other artists to like them so badly.
That's really funny.
You know, there's no number of blowfish. You could be one.
I will say it's wildly depressing to me that the number one popular Darius Rucker song on Spotify is his cover of Wagon Wheel.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real bummer.
Which is another yeah. song that he is paying Bob Dylan royalties from.
Mm. Jesus. That's so a good go. Song, though. But yeah, that's boy, Darius. You're a good man.
Well, also, when Darius Rucker left Hootie and the Blowfish to like do his solo career, uh-huh. there was this whole confusion, which I think is like, I think they're actually probably all really nice guys, which is yeah. why this came from. But it's such a funny, like, normally someone leaves the band and they're like, I'm going to be a star. And instead, he left the band and like, was releasing his own albums, but they kept denying that Hootie and the Blowfish were broken up.
Oh, that's really
no,
sad.
No, no, no. We're all still together. He's just doing his own thing, but the band still exists. We're not playing together. But and now
they're on tour again
with the Bare Naked Ladies.
Bare Naked Ladies, which, by the way, what a concert for this podcast!
Yeah, wow.
I want to go.
Who's opening? Jared.
Speaking of Jared, we should yeah. go ahead and hear some thoughts. If you're a listener to the show, then you are familiar with this segment. But if not, we have our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson from the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, leave his thoughts on the band every week. Here are his thoughts on Hootie and the Blowfish.
What's up, y'all? This week's event to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Hootie and the Blowfish. I think if you would have asked me this question as they were becoming popular like 20-some-odd years ago, my response would, or my critique, I guess, would have been much meaner than it is now. I think that the reason that they kind of became this enemy of the, you know, of the rock and roll world was because they were so just like, there was no teeth to it. It was just this, like, very easygoing, like, crap that it just wasn't very good at the time. And it's not good still. But I think with 20-some-odd years of garbage to come behind it, like, just these awful bands and, you know, sometimes, like, not even just artists, not even, like, a full band is just as bad or worse, like Maroon 5 or just thinking back over the years. I think that there is a bit of nostalgia that comes through in listening to Hootie and the Blowfish. I mean, we all know the songs. They were never good for 1 minute, but there is, at the very minimum, you have the nostalgia factor to go on top of the songs. So, I mean, nobody that has a good palate for music ever liked them when they were first popular. You would only find people that like them now are either people who have a terrible, you know, viewpoint of music and they're older like I am, or they just didn't know that they sucked the first time through and they've been sort of presented as this vintage band. But anyway, I would certainly rather listen to this than a lot of the crap that we hear nowadays. So anyway, thanks.
All right, that was Jared. Boy, coming in hot. But also, at first I thought that was going to be a lot softer, and then it got much harsher as it went.
It was really upbeat destroying, though.
It reminded me of, there was this DeMarcus Cousins quote about Charles Barkley once, where he said, like, I don't like the guy, but on the other hand, I do not respect him. I thought it was the funniest quote. And that was kind of what he just did.
Yeah, for sure. That's amazing.
Well, it's not like they ever were good. But if you're a person who likes them now, you've never had any good taste in music.
I think what he's saying is definitely right, that it's just it's very safe and it's very...
Sure.
But I think the reason that it is better than stuff like Maroon 5 is they never tried to adapt with the times. It was just Darius Rucker, even in his country career, he's always just been kind of like really simple chord progressions. He has a great voice. He doesn't really say anything in his songs, but they're all very pleasant to listen to, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure I disagree with anything that he said.
Yeah. There's a Salon.com article called The 15 Most Hated Bands of the Last 30 Years, and Hootie and the Blowfish is on the list, and they say, if music on the radio in the early 90s all sounded the same, that's because it was all Hootie and the Blowfish all the time. The band's bland music had no real edge and just enough melody to have comfortably become background noise, except then the booming baritone voice of Darius Rucker came on and bore into your skull like a drill. 20 years later, and chances are that you can still hear Rucker rattling around there in your brain.
Wow.
Man. I think that's always the critique of Hootie and the Blowfish, though. It's actually never that it's bad. It's always like, it didn't have edge.
It's catchy and it's,
which is like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it just depends on what you want from your music, right?
Sure.
Like, sometimes...
I want it to have edge.
Yeah, sometimes I don't want to be challenged. I just want to, like, lay on my couch and be like, all right. That's
See?
This band.
See?
Oh, you're right. I take it back. It's the greatest song of all. Sometimes
it's
you just
so
want
relatable.
To lay on your couch. You don't want no caviar. You don't want no Dom Perignon.
You walked into Tommy's crib.
Right into his trap. Oh, man. And now Darius Rucker sues me for copyright infringement. You said the word.
There's a lot. We had a lot of thoughts on Facebook, but first I wanted to
see, did you, Chalewa Sharps said that he tried to do an R&B album in between Hootie and Country. I wonder if we could find that.
Yeah, let's see.
Chalewa?
I saw the comment.
Incredible guest on the new live show. I don't know if this will be up before or after that, but
she's the best.
Yes.
So good.
I will not say what happened because we don't want to spoil it. But
two live ones in a row, she killed it.
Yes.
She's a real monster at that show.
So funny. Also, just an unbelievably encyclopedic understanding of music.
Yes. I know. Yeah. Her comments are very insightful.
When I saw that she commented on this post, I was like, oh, for sure she's going to know way more about Hootie and the Blowfish than I could ever.
So she wrote, just want to be sure y'all talk about Darius Rucker's horrible neo-soul album he released after the Hootie days, but before he released, realized he's the Charlie Pride of our generation. He cannot sing R&B. That album is so bad. So let's go to...
Yeah, we got
to
try and find that, because I was very intrigued by that, and I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to look up Darius
And of course, Rucker. R&B, the B does stand for Blowfish, as we all know.
But we don't
Rudy
know who R
Blowfish.
Is. Rucker and the Blowfish. Or in the... Damn it.
Yeah, Rucker and Blowfish.
That works. There's Wagon Wheel. Fuck me.
I've never heard a more resigned that works.
That'll do.
It's got to be this Back to Then album. Let's hear Wild One. You want to hit that a little bit? Yep.
Okay, here we go.
So far, I like it.
I will posit that this is
better than anything Usher ever did.
I'd like to ask you from the start if you could pull me out the dark, or if our love will fall apart like cookies crumble. See, I'm a demon on the loose. I'm like an engine with no caboose. And I need somebody who can really handle me. Yeah, baby, I'm a wild.
Oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a wild, wild.
He is right. There's nothing sexier than a man saying caboose.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, honestly, Darius Rucker could have probably had a much bigger solo career if he just paid someone to write him like 6 pages of similes.
Yes.
He was just like, give me some. It's like the cookie crumbles when our relationship crumbles. Oh, no.
Oh, shit. He has a song with Snoop Dogg.
We
Let's hear that. Sleeping in My Bed.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Somebody's beating it up. Oh, shit.
Rise and shine now, baby. I got a little something on my mind. I really want to talk to you, and I hope that you will listen to me. I admit that they had me took.
This is hard to defend.
Oh, boy.
I would need to see where this goes.
Yeah,
the
yeah. Yeah, I wonder what Snoop does. I'm going to skip forward. That's got to be Snoop.
This seems like both of them. This is like both of them were trying something new that didn't work.
Yes.
Like Snoop was like, what if I sang? And Darius was like, what if I kind of rapped?
I'm going to be fully honest. If I had heard this in probably like 2000, I think this is 2002, but if I had heard this in like 98, 99, I probably would have liked it.
Really?
I think I would have been into it. I really liked R&B, and I could see myself being like, that's not bad.
Somebody is beating it up.
I'm glad we both liked the same line.
I did wish it was Darius singing that.
Yeah, that Shalewa is right. That is brutal. But it's funny that...
Yeah, thank you, Shalewa, for telling us
about
that.
That was a huge find. That was great. A lot of people were comment, or Tony Jones wrote, I didn't even realize he did such a thing, and then looked for it also. Logan Cummins says, I heard Hold My Hand on the radio the other day and remembered every single word. Cracked Rear View was part of the soundtrack to the 90s for sure. Jordan Sellers writes, while not fodder for your show, for the first time by Darius Rucker is both an unironically good song and uses a lot of the new country tropes everyone laughs at. I don't think I would like that, but maybe it's the best song that ever existed. Let's see here. Madelianus Hollister writes, I love Hootie, but I'm not famous enough to do the podcast.
Mm-hmm,
you got to be famous.
Me feel great.
John Wilkins wrote that Darius is much more famous now. No. Chris Donahue writes, fuck yeah, Hootie rules. Our good friend John Bill and CD writes, loved Crack Rear View so much. Fairweather Johnson was not bad. Before they got big, they were the house band at a bar in Glover Park, north of Georgetown in D.C. called Grog and Tankard. My friends played there a few times, and it's exactly what you'd expect a bar with that name to be. Nice.
I have very clear expectations for Grog and Tankard.
Grog and Tankard. Wow.
We got to check out Grog and Tankard.
That's our next live show. We'll be at Grog and Tankard.
By the way, really quickly, I want to say I'm curious how much it would cost us to get Jared to go see that Bare Naked Ladies.
I think a live report.
We should have a new Patreon tier just for that.
I bet they're coming through Bloomington.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Let's see. Shannon Norman writes, I bought this CD and the Cramps Bad Music for Bad People at the same time. It was a very confusing time to be alive.
That's really funny.
Matt Alonzo Morning writes, I think that if Outkast can give them a shout out with a song called Hootie Hoo, then they're okay in my book.
They haven't done that, but if they can.
Paige Bowman writes, Hootie and the Blowfish was my first concert. I was in first grade. That's interesting. That's an interesting first concert.
Yeah, and pretty young to go to your first concert.
Yeah. I think I was like fourth grade maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of people. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that thing about that tour made me think that I went to a Third Eye Blind tour a few years ago.
Wait, a few years ago? Really? No, how was it?
Kind of recent. Well, I first of all, I had a good time, but like everyone was there like semi-ironically.
Yes.
Like a semi-charmed. And what was funny about that is at one point, like people were cheering because they played like one of the three songs that everyone knew. And then afterwards, the lead singer goes, "You guys are amazing. It's like I always say. Third Eye Blind fans are the craziest fans in the world." And he was clearly like ready for everyone to scream, but literally it was dead silent afterwards because everyone was like, "That's not true."
I mean,
he's not even close to true.
He's a dumbass.
The craziest fans in the world? Like, what about the Insane Clown Posse?
Yes. Yeah.
I was just
or
such
like
a funny
Gwar
moment.
Or something. Yeah. Anything. It's so funny.
I've never been to a show where it's like, "You're a rock star," and then I feel such pity for you when you say something like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say something before.
Oh, Stephen Jenkins. Yeah, he's a dumbass. I love those first two albums so much, mm-hmm. and I would love to go see them.
It was a fun concert.
To hear that.
This was in Providence.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw them in Providence.
So speaking of going to see them in concert, along with finding that tweet from Josh Gondelman, I also found this very depressing tweet from someone named Captain Appleseed.
Okay.
They wrote, "I have Hootie and the Blowfish stuck in my head. Fun fact, my best friend finger banged my then high school girlfriend at a Hootie show. I fucking hate my brain for choosing to remember these connections." What a weird move.
Someone beat it up. I have to say. Sorry, Captain Appleseed.
Sorry, Captain. You got to know not to let your girl go to a Hootie show.
It's gonna happen, yeah.
I only want to be with your best
friend. Brutal. So that concludes our Facebook portion here. I found a lot of interesting stuff because that first album was such a big success.
Yeah.
It sold, I think, 16 million albums or something like that.
Whoa.
It was number 18, I think, on the top 20 albums sold like ever or something like
oh,
that.
Whoa.
Wow,
it's
wild.
Crazy.
That's
yeah.
really wild.
It's insane how much it sold. But then the follow-up is what everybody kind of gave shit to because – compared to that other album, it was a bit of a flop, even though it sold millions of albums. People made fun of it and shit. But there was a Rolling Stone writer who got fired for writing a negative review of that album.
Well, Hootie is famously mob connected.
Yeah. I would have, of all the bands that I would think that you could get blacklisted for panning, Hootie and the Blowfish would never have been up there. Like, what is, like, Hootie's, like, the biggest advertiser in Rolling Stone?
Yes, yeah.
You're like, actually, we're the ones buying all these full-page ads.
You have no idea how high up this thing goes.
You don't want to meet the Blowfish. You couldn't handle the Blowfish.
You don't want to know the truth.
I kept telling you I'm not Hootie. You don't want to meet Hootie.
They do that so in court no one can...
No one's ever heard of Hootie. Yeah. No one ever sees Hootie face to face.
They just uncovered Hootie's that guy that got shot in Jersey or whatever last week. It says,
this is a QAnon podcast, by the way. Yeah, we love it. We're into it. Yeah.
Thank you to all the QAnon fans.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you so
about,
much.
I think we should become a... what's the name of the organization that's like behind everything?
Anonymous?
Oh, yeah, we can't talk
the
about
the Illuminati?
That
the Illuminati. I think we should become an Illuminati podcast.
Yes.
We should flash those signs around and stuff. Hey, if you're part of the Illuminati, we're here for you.
Yes.
this is in 96 that this Rolling Stone thing happened.
Okay.
Jan Winter fired senior music editor Jim DeRogatis after 8 months on the job for writing a negative review of Hootie and the Blowfish. Previous to his firings, he was told he was a bad apple and didn't know anything about music. And after he filed his review, which was swapped for a positive one, he later told the New York Observer that perhaps Hootie's 8.5 million records sold had something to do with Winter's decision. That day that the Observer report came out, he was fired. Damn, it sounds like it was more that he talked shit about Rolling Stone.
Also, Jim DeRogatis, I saw speak once because he was speaking about Lou Reed, who he wrote a book about for an Indiana University alumni event. Because he went to Indiana University, and I went with Connor Delahanty. A lot of information, none of it interesting.
He sucks.
Is that true?
That is all true.
Oh, man.
He sounds like a bad apple, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's well, I showed up there to intimidate him.
Hey, so you got a problem with Big Hootie?
People don't forget.
It's been 22 years.
I love that that would follow him around. Hey, motherfucker, say it to my face.
Yeah, he can't show his face in New York ever again.
I only want to be with you so I can fuck you up.
Everyone gives him like the big puffed out cheeks of the blowfish.
Yeah, that's the sign.
This is going to be you swimming with the fishies.
Oh, damn.
Damn. Yeah. Let's see here. So, do you have any intentions of seeing the Hootie tour?
Oh, I'd see the tour. I didn't know the tour existed until yesterday, but I would go.
Yeah, is there
I'll go to the one in Indiana with Jared.
Yeah, just travel, yeah.
Jared is, he's legally obligated to go.
Yes. Yeah, Jared, I know you're listening. Let's go together, man. Tell me some good dates. I'll get out there.
Oh, man.
Imagine flying to Bloomington just so I could see this tour with a person I've never met before. Yeah.
It would be worth it, although I'm sure he would... He would complain the entire time. It would be very funny, though. Really want to do this. I don't know if I want to fly to Bloomington for it, but look, get on that Patreon. We'll fly Jared out. We'll make him bus around with a tour.
He has to follow the tour.
Let's listen to some more Hootie and the Blowfish while we're here. Why not, you know? I still have the R&B album up. I want to listen to more of that R&B album. Okay, so let's hear Hold My Hand.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
That he went from taking a walk together to walking the road a while. Two different activities.
I also just feel like, you listen to that, I'm like, if you don't like that because it doesn't have enough edge, you just don't like being happy.
Yeah.
Come on, those chords are made to make you happy.
That's true.
That's an inherently upbeat song.
I will say, I don't think, and this, I honestly think this, I don't think I've ever listened to Hootie and the Blowfish in headphones in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just
I
because
don't
of like
think
the
I
way.
Have either.
Like,
that's true. Yeah, or yeah. The same here.
It's really an open windows through a car speakers band.
Yeah, it's so, and I will say, I like that song, but hearing it in headphones, I do not like the bass line. And it's a big attention-seeking bass line that I never noticed before.
Because I didn't pay, I wasn't.
It comes in before the lead guitar, and I never noticed it until this time. If you go from the start, you'll hear it better. It comes in right after this.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon
the
water.
You hate that bass line?
I don't like it.
I like it.
I gotta say, I think almost any Hootie and the Blowfish song, while I like them, if you start picking apart the individual pieces, none of them stand up on their own. They're like only in perfect harmony with each other can they all work.
But I like
it's
when
a
the organ
very
comes in.
Unstable Jenga situation happening.
For sure. I'm sure if you just listened to Darius Rucker's voice, you'd be like, what has happened here? That maybe is the only part that could stand up, but certainly the other parts don't.
Oh, man. Let's see. Jeff from Austin, Texas writes, I have nothing against Hootie or the Blowfish, personally.
That's really funny.
But I never understood how in the hell they were so popular. It just shows how pathetically lame the 90s music scene was. For God's sakes, I even thought Hanson and Spice Girls were better than them. Damn.
Wow.
I don't know if I...
I have nothing against
Spice
them.
Girls are good. I think that's a weird comparison to make. David Crosby, famous for his work with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, sang backup on this.
I thought you were
going to
say commented
songs
on the Facebook.
Yeah, me too. I was like, wow, he wrote in?
He writes,
I got nothing to do but trash bands.
He writes, I am now suing Hootie and the Blowfish
for not covering my music.
Damn. Yeah, this...
Wait, what did he say?
Oh, no, he didn't say anything. He was back up on this. I didn't know
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's shocking.
And some other songs on the same album. Yeah.
I'm very surprised by that.
Yeah, I did not realize that.
This was like this weird period of time, uh-huh, right? Like, Hootie and the Blowfish, Counting Crows. It was like you could make this kind of music and be the biggest celebrity in the world, right? Like you
Adam
could
Duritz,
be
for sure,
Adam Duritz and be dating Courtney Cox because of your music. Like that's
he dated two of the damn friends.
It's well,
crazy.
Maybe he claims that he. I mean, there's some weird claims being made over there, but yeah, two of the friends, and Joey can't get a piece.
Damn.
This definitely takes me back to that, like watching Friends. Counting Crows is the exact comparison. Yeah. It's funny the way that they're safe though, and the amount that I like them reminds me of Creed because I liked about the same amount of Creed as I like of Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Like I was, did you ever like Creed? I don't know if you.
I like those songs. Yeah, like the big ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you realize they're terrible. Like,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're so like the it was so safe. That's what this reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
But. This is a Christian podcast.
It was so safe until like it was a trap, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There was a while where it was like everyone loves this song, and then like 2 years later, everyone was like, "Can you believe people listen to Creed?" And that I know.
Yeah,
I think we talked about. I don't know. Remember if we talked about this with Josh on the live one, but I think they just kind of got a reputation as a fratty band. Hootie did.
Oh, for sure.
Like because they kept playing on College Game Day like all the time.
Yes.
And, like, they were like kind of the go-to. Like ESPN loves this band, which is like a weird place to be in music. You know.
Yes. Well, it's
and also they're like good for like this. I feel like every Hootie and the Blowfish song is like if you commissioned a musician and was like, write me a song that I'll be able to sing. Half yelling, half drunk.
Yeah.
Like, every one of our songs is perfect for that.
Totally.
You know?
End we
of
need
a
more
party.
Bands like that.
Hold my hand.
Yeah.
It's just perfect for it.
We need more bands like that, but that are good.
It doesn't really exist anymore.
Because
now it's like,
fun.
Now, I mean, literally, in terms of College Game Day, it's like the Chainsmokers are the ones who come on, and it's like Lee Corso interviewing the Chainsmokers. It's very weird, which really happened.
No, we played that on our show.
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't here for that one.
I was
that
not
was
on
the
that
one
episode.
That, yeah, we played that. It was very weird.
People call that the best episode of the podcast. I think that's really mean.
Anyways, let's listen to some more. Hootie. This is Wishing.
Listening to that, I really do think, I think that the part of the appeal is it's like Hootie and the Blowfish is just like one notch better than you and your friends could do in a garage. You know?
Yes.
It's like, like you could play this song and you'll sound a lot like them, but you're just like not quite as good a singer as Darius Rucker.
Yeah.
That's so funny. That that guitar specifically, the little tiny solo.
Nee, 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 nee. That's nothing.
It's like, I'm not good at guitar, but I guarantee you if I practice for a while, they'd be like, and no, hit the solo. No.
And that's it.
And you're like, and that's supposed to be the moment where you're like, oh, fuck, he done did it on him.
And they don't they only like half distort it too, where it's like we don't want to be too punk, so we can't. It's like it wouldn't have been no matter what you did to it.
That was Wishing.
Is that from what album is that from?
That is from,
because that seems like an attempt for them to diverge
musical
from their
chairs.
Okay, Which is that like the
is that
album,
recent? What is that?
That
that's not that.
It's later. Okay.
Well, yeah. Nothing is that. I mean, the, other than what they just put out.
Because it reminds me of Counting Crows put out an album. I think it's called Saturday Nights and Sunday Mornings, mm-hmm. and it has a very similar sound to that. I feel like all the '90s bands tried to kind of get an edge at some point. Like,
we can do it. Give me six notes.
Yeah, exactly. No. They just like kind of realized what they're looked at as and tried to. Yeah.
I'm looking up musical chairs just to see. Oh, it's 98.
Apparently, it's a game. The worst researcher in the world.
We did we made the first album specifically designed for you to play musical chairs to.
No. Stop. That would be a good concept album.
Hey, do that with this podcast.
Yeah. Like, no, this is going to be huge.
Yeah, musical podcast. That's the real thing.
Man, what a game. Musical chairs.
I haven't played that in ages.
We should play. Maybe after the show, we'll play around.
Whoa, yeah, we should definitely do that.
There was some weird thing in Scientology where they would do musical chairs, but there was like a weird torture element to it that I should look into before I talk about freely on a podcast.
Hey, I gotta say,
we're pro Scientology.
I gotta say that doesn't sound true, but it definitely is something that if you keep talking about, you will get sued.
Tommy,
which is on brand for this episode.
Tommy, I'm trying to get the Illuminati into the show. We can't talk about Scientology.
When the music stops, free your things.
So
you're
that
an
was
impressive person.
That was Wishing. Let's hear I Will Wait, also off of Musical Chairs.
These are all Jack Johnson references. Sitting, waiting, wishing.
Oh, shit. This is a very Jack Johnson-y band, too.
Yeah.
Says I can't be without her. Tonight he's gonna be without her. He's late now, she says. Makes her mind up, goes to bed. Another night alone without him. Another night alone in Charleston. When I wake, I find the silence of
I just was looking at, there's no like song facts for this one, so I was just looking up the music video to see what people commented on a comment that got a lot of thumbs up on this was Orlando Hernandez writes, does anyone remember being surprised as a kid in the 90s when you saw this music video and the reveal that he was black? I thought it was cool.
The reveal.
The reveal?
And in a Shyamalan-style twist.
Also a twist at the end of this comment. Not hating. I thought it was cool.
It's weird to have a feeling about it either way, I think.
Yes, it is.
Hey, here's a very problematic racial comment, but I ended the end by saying, I thought it was the best part of the band.
I think that was a thing that made me think of Charlie Pride, the Chilewa reference, because in Cocaine and Rhinestones, they referenced that they wouldn't put him on the album cover because they knew it wouldn't sell as well if people knew he was black.
Why we haven't put you on the cover of the podcast. It wouldn't sell as well if they knew that you were white or Irish. There we go.
Sure. I will say I was surprised because usually when we do a band like this, if it's a song I haven't heard, I'm 100% out.
Yeah.
And this one I actually liked it. I'd never heard it. So yeah. Kudos to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Also, I was thinking about it as I was listening to this one. This might be a little bit of a tangent, but it's going to tie back in. Do you know how I feel like there are a fair number of comedians who, when I see them perform, I laugh just because they say something in a funny way.
Yes.
And then I'm like, if I go back and think about like, what was the joke? And it turns out like there was no joke. They just kind of said it like this, you know?
Sure.
And then I laugh because it's like, oh, that's the way it's supposed to go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm jealous of musicians because I feel like they get that, but like times 1,000, right? Like I just like the way Darius Rucker's voice sounds.
Uh-huh.
And so when I'm now, as I'm listening to these critically, I'm like listening to the words he's saying and I'm like, these lyrics here are really bonkers, right? Like, mm-hmm. he needs to smell or touch her hair. I can't live without her. He's going to spend tonight without her. It's like, whoa. You have contradicted yourself in every one of your sentences.
Yeah, it really makes no sense. Yeah. Yeah. And he, yeah, it seems like he keeps switching, like, who's talking.
Yeah. 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 It's like, who is this guy talking to? I can't live without her, but he's not talking to her. He's talking to you, Darius Rucker?
Yeah.
Like, I don't totally understand.
So apparently this song is about his friend's parents. Yeah, one Whoa. Was like a soldier, and then the wife was always waiting for him to come home or something. But Ben
indictment of the military.
But also, like, hey, Darius, could you stop getting in my family's business?
Yeah. Why are you asking so many questions about my damn parents?
Hey. Could you stop talking to my mom about her personal issues?
Hey, can I ask you something? Did your mom, like, miss your dad?
Why do you have that notepad?
Is your mom spending another night alone in Charleston?
And it's weird because Tom spent one night with a lot of friends in Charlottesville 2 years ago.
Look, I thought that we were just going to have some torches and have a nice campfire.
It was cold.
It turned out it was out to be a very different experience.
Twist, the reveal. He's not all white.
Let's see here. Let's listen to another song here. Du-du-du. Oh, shit. God damn it. This is Driver 8.
So this is, okay, this is from Hootie and the Blowfish's album of covers, which is called Scattered, Smothered, and Covered. Also, really fun play on how they serve your hash browns at the Waffle
House. It's a Waffle House, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Also a Jack Johnson song.
Yeah, I've been scared.
All right, let's hear a little bit of Driver 8.
Walls are built up, stone by stone. Fields divided one by one. And the train conductor says, take a break, driver eight. Driver eight, take a break. We've been on the ship too long. And the train conductor says, take a break, driver eight, driver eight, take a break. We can't reach our destination, still ways away, but I still ways away. Saw a tree.
In exchange for this REM cover, Darius Rucker had to give Michael Stipe both of his kidneys. That's a legal decision.
Oh, man. There's a video of Hootie and the Blowfish playing this song. It has one thumbs up.
Oh, no.
Boy.
I really strongly associate this song, though, with like being in the car, kind of falling asleep, like with my parents driving.
Yeah.
Are you, like, a big R.E.M. fan?
I do like R.E.M. a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know this song.
I didn't original. Either. Oh, yeah. I used to listen to R.E.M. a decent amount, but I never heard this one before.
We were talking about Wagon Wheel. One time I saw Old Crow Medicine Show mm-hmm. on a playing a concert on a ferry circling New York, circling Manhattan, and I was standing right next to Michael Stipe.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
That is a crazy situation.
I was and no one else recognized him, and I was like,
that was you in the corner?
That's right. That night I lost my religion and gained a new one. Old
what
Crow.
What else is on this Elm of Covers? Can we look at that? I'm intrigued.
I think the next one I gave you is also from this album.
Oh, let's go ahead and listen to it then. Oh, you're right. It's I Hope That I Don't Fall in Love with You. I'm going to give it away.
Yes.
I like this song a lot.
I did not.
I'm going to skip forward.
And I hope that I don't fall in love with you.
I just like that guy.
Well, the night does funny things inside a man. These old tomcat feelings you don't understand. Well, I turn around and look at you, you light a cigarette. Wish I had the guts to bump one, but we never met.
Is this Tom Waits originally?
Yeah, this is Tom Waits.
I hope I don't fall in love with you.
Now, I think this album is maybe Hootie and the Blowfish's best album because I think they're really good at music and really bad at writing.
Yeah.
So this album where it's all covers, I'm like, every song is great because like they make things sound good. They're just horrible at like writing the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So when Tom Waits writes the lyrics, man, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
Also, this song,
and also,
Twist
I don't like
ending.
Tom Waits' voice as much as I like
Well, yeah, Darius Rucker does sound like Tom Waits if he took care of himself. Like Tom Waits who believed in self-care.
I wish I could hear a Tom Waits covering Hootie and the Blowfish song. Yeah.
I will wait. Wherever you are.
When he says let her cry, it's very menacing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I looked up.
I was just in the wrong mood for this because I was like, I was having a nice walk. It was a sunny day.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
I don't listen to this. Yeah.
Well, this also has a twist ending, though.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
I don't.
Is
I
he
hope
black?
That I don't fall in love with you. And then he goes at the end, I'm black.
It was weird when Tom Waits performed it.
Yeah, Tom Waits really got himself in some hot water for this song. The last two lyrics.
Well, I turn around and look at you. You're nowhere to be found.
Is this towards the end?
Here we go. It's coming up. The twist. Nope, not quite yet. And now, here it is.
And I think that I just fell in love with you.
I just got the chills.
Oh, damn.
Oh, no.
Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
He hopes it didn't happen, but it did.
Wow.
So, the other songs on this album are Fine Line, I Go Blind, Almost
Oh,
Home.
I actually really like the cover of I Go Blind.
Yeah.
That was a song I would listen to in college a lot.
It's also, I feel like, I think
will
someone...
you play that for me?
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoy it. I think
here
his voice works really well with this song.
I also can't remember if someone commented this on your post or someone told this to me when I said I was doing this, but they were talking about, is this song a compliment or an insult?
Every time I look at you, I go blind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is funny That's the good. Back whenever the backup singers sing it is just the most generic voice
100%
the most
yeah.
generic white voice you could ever have.
Yes.
Like
but again, listening to this, I gotta say, I still think all of these songs are within the wheelhouse of a Tommy McNamara cover.
Oh,
and
for
I would
that
like
one
to
specifically,
see,
I feel like I'm modeling myself after.
Well, I personally would like to see you cover their album of covers.
Oh, wow.
Covered, Ooh. Scattered, smothered, and covered, covered.
Whoa.
Oh, that's good.
That would sell so many copies.
That would be a blockbuster album.
Damn,
bring back the album.
Oh, God.
There's a Led Zeppelin cover. Hey, hey, what can I do?
Oh, I like that song.
There's also Renaissance Eyes, Before the Heartache Rolls In, Araby. I'm Over You, Gravity of the Situation, Dream Baby, Let Me Be Your Man, Please, Please Let Me Get What, what's the rest of that? It cuts off on Spotify. Something. Please, Please Let Me Get Something.
Okay.
And Use Me. Those are the
interesting.
So that was the playlist. MacMan, how do you feel?
I am going to go with a 4.
Okay.
4. Interesting.
I think I really love his voice, and it's really simple chords, all that stuff. And I think it is funny that it's really meant to be listened to at an event or in a car, and it was weird listening to it in headphones for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guitar playing is very bad, I would say. Anytime they're trying to highlight it, it's like, oh, no, you should just stick to Let Darius Shine. And I will say that I've been converted, and I do not think All Right is better than all of those songs. So 4 out of 6.
Man, it's nice to see how quickly minds can change. I am torn here because I really did like this more than I thought I would even. I didn't love both songs off Musical Chairs, but I think I'm going to go 4.75.
Wow, that's high. That's very high.
I did really enjoy the rest of it. And I do like his voice. I love the twist that it turns out he's black. That was really cool.
That's really cool. Honestly, that is really cool.
That's like so cool.
If you don't think it's cool, there's a problem.
But no, I really enjoyed it. That's probably high, but it is the year of... Oh, wow. Wait, what is the year of now, Tommy?
Now it's sangria.
That's right, sangria. Have you had any sangria since last we recorded?
Not yet. I almost got one yesterday.
Ooh, all right.
So I that's pretty close. Today, yeah.
Just to celebrate.
I do feel like you could certainly get a sangria at a Hootie and the Blowfish show.
Yes. So. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's probably only sangria that they
in
have.
In like a giant container.
Yeah, they have like one of those, it's like the plastic ones they have in Vegas. Yeah, like the big straw. Yeah. I feel like that's legit the only thing they have. Yeah, 4.75. What do you think, Chris?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to give him a 6 out of 6.
Perfect.
This is a very high average for Hootie.
Yeah, very high.
Two barely passing grades and 100.
No, it's out of 6, so it's like that's good.
I mean, 4 out of 6 is
66%, and if that's bad, barely, then...
Man, if that's bad, I don't want to be good.
It is bad. It's not a good score.
Yeah, Chris, this is not an education podcast.
We just want to make sure if you're listening out there and unclear on what a good grade is, 66, not great.
Hey, we're not here for math, all right? This is a music podcast.
Okay. Put it in terms you can understand.
You barely passed. let's talk about math rock. How about
yes,
that?
Tool.
Yeah, this was what a fun time. Do you have any final things you want to say about Hootie before we wrap up here?
No, I just think that, you know, I think we hit on a few really important topics that I wanted everyone to remember, one of which is you don't know who Hootie is, and you never will, and you shouldn't dig too deep into that question.
Yes.
Yeah, you might end up hurt if you ask too many questions.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And other than that, I just had a great time. So, you
this
know,
was so fun.
Great nostalgia, man. And some great times with two great guys.
We got to do it again, buddy. We loved this. This was very fun.
Yes, and plugs.
Yes.
Do you have any of those?
Sure.
And let me plug your great sweater.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, it is great.
Sweaters.
I think I tried on a similar sweater, and I couldn't pull it off. You're pulling it off.
You are pulling it off very well.
Under $30 at Uniqlo.
Woo!
It's for sale.
I did try that on then.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Turns out I am exactly the cut of a slender Japanese man. That's I'm their
no,
model.
I'm just realizing last night Josh Gondelman was wearing a sweater that I own from Banana Republic.
Something
people who
weird's
love
going on.
Hootie who love Hootie wear things that I try on.
Hootie and sweaters. Friendly sweater boys. other plugs. When does this come out?
Wednesday. Probably.
Oh, okay, yeah. Great. Friday, April 5th. Watch the premiere of Why It's an Axe Problem on HBO.
Yes.
Season 2.
Hell
that's very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, very awesome. What do I want to play? I will be in around the Toronto area, like
not
cities nearby, but not in, around, for the JFL Roadshow April 3rd through the 11th with a really fun crew. So come out to that.
You know
what
that old saying, Tom Takar so fat, he go around the Toronto area.
Oh, it's a fat-shaming podcast now?
Yeah. Yes.
It could also be he's so flexible.
Ah.
Oh, that's true. Thank you, Chris.
He's so elastic. He's all around the area.
Tommy is going to be recording an album if he doesn't get
13th.
Canceled for that fat-shaming comment.
Oh, no.
What is that date, June 13th?
June 13th. Oh, wow. I did two podcasts today. I'm dead sober.
Gotta work on those speaking skills before that album.
That's true. Much like the band Tool, I am sober. They have a song called Sober. And listen, I'm doing 2 shows just in case one of them I talk like that. So come to one of those. It'll be really fun. Hell I'm doing a bunch of shows before then in different cities. So come to look at my website and do that. Bye.
Bye.
Keep it crispy.
Keep it crispy.